Welcome back to the Last Diet Podcast. I'm Dr. Jordan Williams with Dr. Dale Williams here. We're going to talk today about the freedom of phase three, what life can look like with a healthy lifestyle. Well, welcome back. Dr. Williams, how you been?
Doing well.
Good. Anything new, wild, exciting going on?
Well, it's getting springtime, and so I like the spring. It's a new life.
You don't like the cold?
I do not like the cold.
You know, with springtime, we've talked about this. Most people around this time, they start taking the sweaters off. They start taking the coats off, and they realize winter got away from them a little bit. Average American, they'll gain about 8 pounds between Thanksgiving and New Year's. And then generally about this time is when they realize that 8 pounds is still there.
Yeah.
So with Billings Last Diet, obviously we have three phases. Phase one, that's the weight loss phase. And that's what most people focus on because they think, well, the word diet is in the name, so it must be just a diet plan. And the reality is there's three phases. So phase one's weight loss. Phase two is when we teach people how to stabilize that weight loss. And then phase three is when we talk about maintenance. And maintenance is, I don't like that word because I feel like we're, you know, going to get your oil changed. But maintenance, really what we mean is lifestyle.
Everyday life. Right. That's what phase three is everyday life. And phase three is the most exciting part of Billings Last Diet's protocol. And it's because it's the lifestyle that you can live for the rest of your life now that you've done the work of phase one and phase two.
So with phase three, ideally, let's just say, you know, I went in, I wanted to lose 50 pounds, right? I'm losing an average of 3-5 pounds per week. That happens relatively quickly in phase one.
Yeah.
Phase two, we're looking at about 2 months. In that time, we're learning what macros are, right? What your carbs, your proteins, and your fats, and what combination works best with your body and your lifestyle. And then phase three, how do we transition from that macro code to phase three?
The importance of the phase two is really the development of what I can eat, what I want to eat, mm-hmm. and what I choose to eat for the rest of my life. And so getting the right portions, your macro code, as you mm-hmm. mentioned, where we have the right quantity and quality of the food that you're eating. Once that's discovered, then you can apply the principles that you learned in phase two on the macro code to the rest of your life and to the rest of the foods that are available to you. And so phase three really is, it's very freeing because there's nothing that's off the table mm-hmm. at that point. But that doesn't mean you can eat everything that's on the table at that point either. So you have to take the education that you've had in phase two and apply that to phase three.
You know, and you mentioned this in the past, it's just because the word diet is in the title, it doesn't mean you have to deprive yourself. Now in phase one, you do somewhat, right? Yeah. It's pretty restrictive.
It's restrictive, right.
But that's not lifelong. And if you feel deprived, for an extended period of time, you will fail. Yeah. So the purpose of phase one, phase two is changing that lifestyle, change that mentality so that when you get to phase three, you realize, you know what? I actually do like eating whole foods. I like eating vegetables. I like eating foods that actually fuel my body and not feed my emotions.
So unfortunately, we need to go through phase one and phase two before we get to the part of phase three where we say, ooh, this is really good. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is during phase one and phase two, there are physiological changes that take place in the way your body tastes food and how it fills you up. So in order to get to that phase three, if you've been eating foods that aren't the best for you, you've been accustomed to those hyperpalatable foods, those foods that taste really good, mm-hmm. those engineered foods that the food companies have engineered so that you can't just eat a little bit, you have to have more and more. You have to break those cycles in phase one and phase two before you get to phase three and say, holy cow, I didn't realize these foods were this good.
Yeah, you realize that that's marketing slogan for Lay's really is, you bet you can't just have one, right?
Yeah, right.
The reality is that the reason they say that is because it's tricking your brain and your stomach to, one, want more, and two, not feel full. And we talked about this in our last podcast a little bit, that gut biome.
Yeah.
If you've had those ultra-processed foods, which we'll talk about what that means here in a minute, but you've created a gut biome that craves and actually needs those foods to survive. So phase one, you're really killing off bad bacteria and building a new biome to actually lay the foundation for that healthy lifestyle.
Which is why all three phases are so important.
Crucial.
And frankly, some of our dieters that have been listening, you've experienced this. You went through phase one. You said, hey, I got this. I'm going to now go into phase three. I'm going to go back to eating. And the weight comes back lots of times. Some of that weight will come back because you didn't develop the lifestyle. You didn't let your gut heal and get populated with the good food or the good foods that give you that good gut biome for a long enough period of time. And so some of those cravings come back relatively quickly. Anybody that's had gut issues and to where they've got yeast infection, mm-hmm. they'll say, I crave sugar horribly. And that's not just something that's in their head. It's in their gut mm-hmm. that's causing them to crave. So getting that taken care of in phase one and phase two is so critical as you go into phase three is to make sure you maintain that.
Well, and you talk about kind of how do we create that environment, and we talk about how foods are processed. So let's talk a little bit about what processes take place with foods that make them that hyper-palatable and easy to consume more and more compared to what we would consider a whole food. So kind of for you, where's that line drawn?
So in phase three, this will sound familiar to our dieters, we have ideal foods. Mm-hmm. These are foods that are not processed or minimally processed. And so if you were to go out to your garden this summer and you were to bend down and take a bite out of a cucumber as it's on the vine, mm-hmm. that is a non-processed food until you take that bite. It's, when you pick that food, now it's now separated from the plant, mm-hmm. now you've harvested it, it's still a non-processed. You haven't done anything to change the character of that food. Now, if you'll take that cucumber and run it through a pickling process and turn it into a dill pickle, now it's a processed food. Mm-hmm. But it's not an ultra-processed food necessarily because it hasn't gone through lots of steps with lots of different additives to change the nature of it. So the processing of your foods can be minimal processed, moderately processed, or ultra-processed, which where we add a lot of different stuff and change the nature of that food.
And as kind of a rule of thumb, you can take a look and see how many ingredients are in that packet of food? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, does it have a package? If it doesn't have a package, it's probably less processed.
And so I've said this before to a lot of dieters, the best foods that you can eat are those that don't require a label. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to a grocery store and you go to your fruits and vegetables sections, you notice there aren't any food labels mm-hmm. on those foods. That's because they're not required.
Yeah. not FDA approved.
Right, no. Right, you're right.
Well, and again, we were just talking a little bit before we started the podcast. On the way in this morning, I heard the World Health Organization just put out this groundbreaking study, 8 different countries, 200,000 different individuals through surveys and death records. It turns out ultra-processed food makes you die earlier. So wow. If you didn't know that before, the World Health Organization has now proved it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've known that for years. We've known that it on multiple levels is not good for your health, from destroying your gut biome, as we've talked about, but it also, those ultra-processed foods are ultra-processed so that you will eat more and more, and you can eat more and more of those foods. So we don't generally think of orange juice as a processed food, but orange juice really is a processed food. Mm-hmm. How many oranges does it take to make 8 ounces of orange juice?
Two or three, three or four maybe.
And how often do you sit down and eat three or four oranges, but yet you might drink 2 glasses, 8 ounce glasses of orange juice mm-hmm. really fast? And so what that does is it allows you to consume more of it because of the processing, where you wouldn't have done that in nature with all the fiber in it.
And more particularly, more of that the sugars that are in there, right? The part that tastes good.
Yes.
We're getting rid of the fibers, the pulp. We're getting rid of that stuff that actually helps you digest and break down those sugars. And now we're just giving you the good stuff, which is what ultra process does.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit more about phase three specifically. We typically tell people we don't want to deprive you. So in phase three, we get this question all the time. Well, what if I want a piece of cake?
Yeah.
Right? What do you tell those dieters?
Enjoy your piece of cake.
Absolutely.
Be conscious that you're eating a piece of cake. And so know that that is a poor value food. So we have three values of food in phase three. We have an ideal value. That's the minimally processed foods. And then we have a fair value food. That's food that there's some processing that takes place with a few additives. And then there's the ultra processed foods. That would be cake.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have an ultra-processed food. We'll teach you in phase two as well as in phase three that when you have that piece of cake, what that's going to do to your body physiologically, how your body's going to process it. And so you can help offset the negative effects of that cake by adding protein along with it. And that's the food combining side. But enjoy that piece of cake. Make sure your portion control is correct. That piece of cake isn't the whole cake, but enjoy it. There's freedom in having achieved phase three.
Well, and we've talked about this too. It comes down to, especially in phase three, intentional eating.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize how ingrained food is in our culture. We sit down at the movie theater and we have popcorn and a soda. We go to a wedding and we automatically have to have a piece of the cake.
Yeah.
We, have a birthday party, there's ice cream. Halloween, you get candy. Easter, you get chocolate. There's these cultural habits that we've kind of just ingrained into our society, and it's surrounded by food. Now, 80 years ago, that wasn't a bad thing because we didn't have these highly processed foods. So it was just, we'd have a good prime rib for New Year's and turkey for Thanksgiving. But now we've added these desserts. We've added these sugars. We've added all this processed food to that tradition, and it just becomes second nature just to overeat because it's Thanksgiving.
And it's so highly available,
much
more available than it was 100 years ago. Yeah.
And so when it comes down to phase three, it really is, it's just life. We shouldn't even call it a phase. It should just be your new life, eating foods that you choose to eat, not that were chosen for you.
And so getting into phase three and discovering the foods that you'll eat the rest of your life. We talk about this a lot during the introduction seminar to phase one and the weight loss phase. And you need to be able to discover foods that you will eat in phase three for the rest of your life without feeling deprived.
Mm-hmm.
And so there shouldn't be any deprivation or any restriction in your phase three food consumption. So phase one and phase two, if you're doing it correctly, you're discovering foods. Ooh, I like this food. This is something I'll eat for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when you get to phase three, it's a natural transition. There's not any abrupt, now I go off the rails, or now I have to be still so restrictive. It should be a natural flow into a lifestyle, a rest of your life lifestyle that you don't resent, that you don't look forward to when this ends.
Right. Well, and part of that is not just finding foods that you enjoy eating or that you didn't know you could enjoy, but also finding that some of those foods that you used to eat a lot, you really just don't like. It was just because it was available. Some people, if they were to step back and journal out what they eat without any diet, just focus on what you eat and write it out, you're going to realize you have pizza 4 days a week. And the reason you do that is because it's easy to throw a frozen pizza in and then you just sit on the couch, eat it, and go to bed. And nobody realizes, it turns out I don't love pizza that much. I enjoy it on occasion, but I don't like it 4 days a week.
I found something else I like as much or better than pizza as well.
And part of that is with our coaching is showing you how to prepare foods in a way that's easy. Most people just kind of let foods, open the fridge and take whatever's quick and easy, because I don't want to take the time to cook a meal or prepare something. And they don't realize that there are foods that are less processed even whole foods that don't take any time to prepare, that they really will enjoy more than those ultra processed foods that aren't great for us.
So those ultra processed foods, a word of caution to those that are in phase three, or as you go into phase three, you have to be careful with those ultra processed foods, because they really are highly palliative. I mean, palatable. They really do taste good, and they're addictive. Mm-hmm. There's no other term that I can think of to better describe it. Is you can get into a bad on a bad lane if you get too much into those foods. Mm-hmm. And so there, we had a diet coach several years ago that says there are some foods that I have to treat like a divorce, that I have limited or I have supervised visitation. And so if Oreos is something that you really enjoy, you need to learn to be able to really enjoy two Oreos, not a sleeve of Oreos, right, because you'll get down that lane to where you get into the addicted side of it. And so just have to be careful on those poor value foods or those highly processed foods. Just know that they're designed for you by the food industry to be something that they can sell to you over and over and over again. So I'll have to admit that I like sugar. I like candy. And so, and I'd eat sugar and candy in the form of candy. But I'm careful on my portion control. I don't have to have a whole bunch. And so you develop a lifestyle where you say a little bit is enough.
Right. Well, I like what you said. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, and along those same lanes, and we've talked about the psychology of eating as well, you need to realize that there are non-food ways that you can cope with emotions.
Yeah.
We've talked about, you know, during phase one and phase two is a great time to find those coping mechanisms that are healthy for you and not going to that sleeve of Oreos or going to that bag of Skittles, because yeah, it might taste good and it's an easy fix, but that's not the healthiest way, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally, the best way to cope with some of those problems. So if you are having those problems and you realize that you are more of an emotional eater, that's something you need to resolve and look deeper into. I mean, there are real addictive habits that come up, but also those kind of emotional issues that can arise with food that we associate with food that might be resolved with a professional as well.
Yeah, food will never resolve an emotional eating problem.
That's absolutely right. Well, you know, I love the three-phase protocol that Billings Last Diet teaches, because most people, when they're on a diet, they focus on the weight loss only.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is simply, when you've lost the weight, now what?
Yeah.
And so Billings Last Diet, the focus isn't the weight loss. It's the lifestyle, the health gains. Is what are you doing now, so that in 90 days, 100 days, in a year from now, you're really going to have a different life, not just a different body.
And at the end of that phase two, and as you go into phase three, you should think differently about foods. Mm-hmm. You should be educated enough about knowing how your body works that you can say, I know what happens when I eat these Oreos, so I'm going to eat those Oreos. I'm going to eat the Oreos, but I'm going to eat them appropriately and in combined with some protein so that I can have control over the physiological effect of it.
And not look at that as a fail.
Right. You
know, and that's the hard thing with diets is too, is, well, I had one Oreo, so I've already failed, so let's just eat the sleeve.
Eat the sleeve.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's not a fail. In phase three, that's just part of phase three.
Yeah.
Now, you keep going down that lane, like you said, you get those addictive habits and bring those addictions back up. You need to maybe readdress phase one, phase two, re-educate yourself on what that looks like.
And that is the great thing about the coaching in phase three, yep, and the accountability in phase three. People will say, do I have to keep coming back and visit with a coach? And the answer is no, you never have to do anything you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But you should choose to come back to make sure that you're still staying on track, that you're tracking within the macros that you established in phase two, and that your health gains aren't being lost to your weight gain that can come along.
Absolutely. And you know, we talk with Big J. He's a big radio guy here, yeah. And he did fantastic on the diet. Remind me, it lost 170 pounds.
130 pounds.
130 pounds.
129.6.
Yeah, 129.6. Yep. I was thinking 169.6. 129.6. 8 years ago, and he's kept it. He's done fantastic, and we meet with him about once a month and just chat with him. But he shares a story when he would sit down at a restaurant. You know, he'd always get a side of fries. That's just typical. I get a steak, yeah. I get my fries. And he'd kind of look at people who'd get salad as, well, they're salad people.
Yeah.
And he'd kind of, well, I don't think I could ever be a salad person. And what does he say now?
Yeah.
He's a changed. Salad person.
Right.
And that's because that education, he realized, you know, I actually really enjoy that salad. It adds to the meal. It's not a forced, begrudgingly, well, I'll get the salad because I'm worried about my weight. It's, well, I enjoy the salad. You know, occasionally I'll get the fries as well, but yep. I'm a salad guy is what he says now.
It's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
Change in the way you view foods, change in your choices.
Yeah. So with that, you know, we've talked a lot about our phase one, our phase two, phase three, and kind of what that all means. If you're listening, you have no idea what that means, visit our website, give us a call, and we can educate you on what those look like. We have a free seminar online as well. You can visit and check out what phase one looks like. But really, our goal is to help educate an individual so that they can not just lose weight, but they can gain health for the rest of their life.
And I might have a shout out to our phase three dieters. Congratulations. If you have been in phase three, or if you stopped eating the principles of phase three and you have started to gain that weight back, the great thing is we're still here. The principles are still there. You can get back on track and we can help you develop that lifestyle that sticks for the rest of your life.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dr. Williams. Thank you those who are chiming in. Remember, look back at some of our previous episodes. We touched on a few things today. Great education there, and we look forward to seeing you at our next episode. Thanks.